WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. And you are staying tuned for the next few minutes through this very important announcement. And when you do that, you will be rewarded with the Healthy Planet Radio Show with Hope Bohannock of Compassionate Living, who has been on this show before and who you have loved. Speaking about a topic that can, and if you listen closely, will change your life. Stay tuned. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life. All of us at WUSB want to thank our listeners for many years of support, and that support that actually keeps us on the air. The way we get your support is via radiothons, and you can do that by going to www.wusb.fm/pledge and filling out the online pledge form, or 631-632-6901, or toll free 888-632-9872. So why would you choose to donate to WUSB with all the other public and for-profit radio stations out there? Well, I have to ask you in return why you choose to listen to WUSB. If you're listening to this show, you know that for 18 years, we've been bringing you life and world-changing information. We not only cover topics that you won't hear on other radio shows or cable TV, but we have in-depth discussions of those topics versus sound bites. And unlike other public radio stations, all of the amazing DJs and talk show hosts on WUSB are volunteers. So what's the difference when you listen to all volunteers? Well, the difference is that these programs are created because the DJ or talk show host has a passion about sharing either fine music or meaningful, life-changing information with you. The contents of these shows springs from our insights, creativity, and yes, passion. So we really ought to be called WUSP, where P is for passion. Our 24/7 schedule is made possible by a volunteer staff of over 160 Stony Brook students, faculty, staff, alumni, and community residents. 168 hours per week of innovative and high-quality programming.
WUSB.fm/pledge.
631-632-6901. Toll free, 888-632-9872. I've been on this station for almost 19 years, and just about every time I flip on WUSB, I get something unexpected. Most of the music is new to me. The talk is always interesting. That's the beauty of diversity. You don't just get what some broadcast company or station manager decided was going to be the genre or the type of talk that you were going to hear. You hear diverse content from a wide variety of people, which was what keeps you coming back to this station over and over again. WUSB 90.1 FM. You get something new. You get something creative. And that's what makes us special.
WUSB.fm/pledge.
The content here awakens your imagination and could help you to grow in ways that you didn't know that you could. And it could also teach you about how to live a longer, healthier life while taking steps that will transform society to one that is clean, healthy, compassionate, and a much better place for future generations to live.
WUSB.fm/pledge.
If you've been listening to this show and have taken seriously the comments of the experts who we've interviewed, you may have been able to prevent and reverse a great number of diseases that, if you went along your old path, you would have been stricken with. Time has proven the information we have passed along to you has been spot on.
WUSB.fm/pledge.
For almost 2 decades, we've brought you information about disease preventing and reversing benefits of a whole foods plant-based diet. During that time, fad diets have come and gone and been proven to be short-term fixes at best. What you've been hearing right here has stood the test of time, and now it's known to be able to prevent and reverse diseases from heart disease to stroke, diabetes, and so much more, and it can even be part of a diet lifestyle modification program that can reduce your risk of cancer by 70% or more.
WUSB.fm/pledge.
And we've also set the record straight on many, many other issues that you rarely hear any kind of in-depth, meaningful discussion on. And of course, since that time, we've experienced the 10 hottest years on record. We've seen major ramping up of major storms. Sea levels have risen. Wildfires are destroying cities and more. So if this show and all the other great shows on WUSB have helped you or given you joy, please consider going to wusb.fm/pledge and filling out the online pledge form. Or 631-632-6901. Toll free, 888-632-9872. We give to you all year. Now it's your turn to play your role by supporting this station.
WUSB.FM/pledge.
631-632-6901. 888-632-9872. Tune in and pledge today. And welcome to this edition of the Healthy Planet radio program. My name is Bob DiBenedetto, your host for the best hour of your life. The one that's always in front of you right now, whenever that happens to be. The Healthy Planet focuses on topics that will help to educate you about the deep connection among all life on Earth and the powerful effects your everyday choices can have on creating a clean, healthy, and compassionate world. Well, of course, everybody knows that mid-November is here, and the country is firmly focused on Thanksgiving. And when most Americans think of Thanksgiving, we think of the meal. And when we think of the meal, we think of a turkey. However, that tradition, believe it or not, may be fading a little bit faster than most of us realize.
What surprised me recently was hearing
that turkey is actually losing popularity in the United States. A 2024 survey of over 1,000 Americans found that nearly 35% of people considered turkey to be their least favorite food on Thanksgiving, their least favorite. This is actually reflected in consumption data, as the expected per capita turkey consumption for 2025 is at a record low, representing a 28% drop since 1996. The decline that we're seeing is seen as a positive by most of you. And I say most of you, and I'll tell you why I say that. Because a recent landmark study showed that the vast majority of Americans agree there is a need to reduce animal suffering. That same study found almost 86% of Americans support a federal law specifying that cruelty toward wildlife is a criminal violation. Yet despite what Americans believe, while turkey consumption is down, chicken consumption has risen greatly. So somehow our deeply held compassion and beliefs that are very important to us are not matching our actions when it comes to the foods that we're choosing to eat. So this gap between action and belief might be partially explained by a phenomenon called pluralistic ignorance. Colorado State University professor Rebecca Nemayek and her colleagues found in their 2024 landmark study that while the U.S. public is incredibly supportive of animal protection policies, people widely underestimate how much other Americans care about animals. So we all think we're the only ones concerned, when the reality is that most of us share this concern. As Dr. Nemayek stated, she hopes that as people realize that they are not alone in their concern, more people will begin to speak up to ensure our actions reflect the values most Americans share. And that's why we are doing this radio show today.
We want to let everybody know that despite the fact that eating a Thanksgiving turkey is widely portrayed as an acceptable, normal thing to do, most of us, including very likely most of you, are concerned about the thinking, feeling animals who really do pay the ultimate price for what is objectively, without question, a very violent social norm. And you are not alone in caring about that. Listening to the show is going to give you a great deal of food for thought
to help you navigate what can at first seem like scary waters in the journey to living a life and making choices that actually reflect who you aspire to be versus who you happen to be based upon the past and the traditions that were handed to you. And to help us shed light upon this very important topic, I'm very, very happy to welcome back to The Healthy Planet, Hope Bohanek. Hope has been active in animal protection and environmental activism for over 30 years. She is the executive director of Compassionate Living and the host of the Hope for the Animals podcast.
Hope co-founded the Humane Hoax Project, the Ahimsa Living Project, and has organized hundreds of online and in-person events. She has also published two books on the subject of humane washing and greenwashing: The Ultimate Betrayal, Is There Happy Meat?, and The Humane Hoax, Essays Exposing the Myth of Happy Meat, Humane Dairy, and Ethical Eggs. Over the last three decades, she has worked for national nonprofits, United Poultry Concerns, and In Defense of Animals, and contributed chapters to two anthologies. Hope Bohanek, thank you so much for joining us again today, and for the decades of making your valuable voice and wisdom available to the world.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me again.
Of course. Such a pleasure. Hope, you're someone who, like myself, has for a good part of your life challenged existing social norms. And you've been super motivated to devote a good portion of your life to speaking out about how many of these norms no longer fit who we are, and as I mentioned, who we aspire to be. This was reflected in the study that I mentioned earlier. And one of those social norms or traditions which I mentioned is the accepted tradition of giving thanks by featuring a slaughtered bird at the center of our Thanksgiving table. So Hope, talk about why you've seen it as a worthy endeavor to dedicate your life to the effort to challenge the norms of what we as a society eat.
Well, when I was very young, I knew that I wanted to work for animals, with animals, somehow help animals. I've always been very connected to animals, and I didn't know what that was going to look like. But as I grew and getting into my teens, I suddenly made those connections about our food and that there were animals that we were eating, right? That bacon was a pig, and I loved pigs. I didn't want to eat my friends. So it kind of evolved that way. And, when you're talking about social norms and like traditions and Thanksgiving coming up, the Thanksgiving holiday, I think that we as humans, we really need tradition, right? We as a species, tradition is very important. It binds us as a community. It defines our values. And we're kind of lacking tradition, I think, as a culture in the US compared to other places in the world, compared to the past. You know, we're just more of a newer country. So what traditions we do have, I think we really want to hold on to, right? We really are very attached to them. Traditions can strengthen us. It can, make our community stronger. But then we also find sometimes that traditions are kind of outdated and they may cause harm, so that we may need to shift them a little, right? And this is kind of what we're talking about around Thanksgiving, around our food. We don't have to lose or completely change our holidays or our traditions. It's just shifting the food that we consume to be more compassionate, a healthier version, right, of what it is now, and bring our ethics and our values and things that we care about, like nonviolence and not wanting harm to come to anyone, to animals. And just shifting our food can bring that into alignment, right, our ethics into alignment, and we can still enjoy the holidays. What we eat, who we eat, really is very cultural. And other cultures eat animals like dogs or whales. And right, here in the US, we'd be so appalled. We can't imagine. But what's the difference? Right? We've separated animals into these different categories of use, even though these animals all have the same emotional capacity, the same ability to feel pain, anguish, just as a dog or a cat or us. And so because of the mass confinement, the consumption of animals, I think we justify the exploitation in our minds, believing that this myth that they're less intelligent, especially with animals like chickens or turkeys, we think that they, don't have the same emotional capacity or the same intelligence to know what's going on. But you can talk to any animal sanctuary people, anyone who's lived with chickens or turkeys. I've rescued chickens, and they are individuals with incredible personalities, the capacity to love, to forgive, just like any companion animal. Coming back to the tradition and culture, just to wrap it up, we don't have to change dramatically anything other than changing what we're presenting at the table. I still love to decorate for Thanksgiving. We could talk about that, but
you like the tradition. You'd see that it needs a bit of updating to fit who we are today.
Absolutely.
Understood. Many of us obviously agree with that. You've started giving us a bit of an idea about how turkeys are, who they are, but I'm going to ask you to take a bit more time to tell us about the turkeys you've known. Tell us how you observe them seeing life, about their intelligence, how they interact with family and other species, their personalities, their emotions, personal stories about interactions you've had with them, things that people wouldn't think about turkeys given what we've been told about them. Help us all understand who turkeys actually are. And feel free to run with that, because on Long Island, nobody knows a turkey. Or I should say a very, very small portion of the population knows turkeys. And probably those people who know turkeys don't take the time to actually get to know them. And that's important because, you know, I know people who have seen cats, their friends have had cats, and they're like, oh, I don't like cats. I say, that's because you've never known a cat. Cats are amazing, wonderful creatures. And if you've never taken the time to get to know them, it's like looking at the person across the street and saying, I don't like them, when you've never spoken to them. So tell us what you know about turkeys. Personalize their existence.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob, it's so true. Someone says, oh, I don't like cats. But what I say to that is, well, you don't know enough cats because they're all different. And there's
right.
different individual personalities of, you may have met one cat that was kind of aloof and didn't like you. Well, you know, there's other cats that are very, very gregarious and loving. And so, you know, the animals are all individuals just like humans. Just like you say, you know, you see a human and say, oh, I don't like humans. Well, there's maybe you don't like some humans, but we're all very different and animals are the same. So I'll tell a story about turkeys and my very first encounter ever with turkeys was long ago, about 30 years ago. I was interning on an animal sanctuary, a farmed animal sanctuary where they rescue animals and let them live their lives out in peace. And I went into the turkey field where the turkeys were, you know, wandering around in this lovely big field. And I sat down with my legs crossed just to observe them. And as soon as they noticed me, they just came right over to me and they were very curious about me. And there was one turkey, she was huge, and she just sat right in my lap, like just plopped in my lap. I couldn't believe it. And I was able to stroke her and feel her feathers, and they were beautifully soft. And she started purring, like cooing. Chickens and turkeys, they can give off this beautiful, soft sound when they're contented, just like a cat purring. And I couldn't believe it. It was such an amazing experience to just kind of bond with this turkey. And it made me think, wow, you know, these are all rescued animals. They have come from horrific situations, yet they're willing to forgive and to know that I mean them no harm and that humans are very different from each other and that now they're in a safe place and these humans care for them. So we need to look at animals the same way. They're all very individual, right? And turkeys are very cool. They have some unique features, that skin around their face and their neck, that's called the snood and wattle, that can change colors with their mood. So it can be a brilliant blue, it can change to a bright red, and that's just kind of their full range of emotions. When it's blue or white, they're more relaxed. When it starts, they start getting interested in you or engaging, or if they're angry or agitated, that can turn that bright red, right?
Wow.
So really amazing, amazing creatures, very individual personalities. And also avian intelligence now has been deeply studied in the scientific realm. They've been looking into the cognition and brains of avians. chickens, turkeys, all kinds of birds. And actually, they're finding that they are very intelligent, very conscious of the world around them, what's happening. They can solve puzzles. They can remember people that they knew from long ago, from years before someone will come that they knew intensely at a sanctuary. And that person can come years later and they'll run right to them and remember them. So it's they're amazing birds, just incredible, incredible beings.
And they have friends and people that they tend to like and people they tend to not like, or animals they tend to like and animals they tend to not like us, like
Yep.
our dogs or like our cats, how they have their likes and their dislikes that are just personal, individual. And yet we just look at them as part of the tradition. Necessarily, we look at them as just dumb birds.
Yeah, and like a group. I think that's something that happens is that you don't see the individual birds, especially when we see them in the farming situations. There's like hundreds or thousands all crammed together. So you think of them as this, oh, just this mass of birds and they don't know what's going on. No, they are individuals. They know exactly what's happening to them and they feel everything. Yeah.
And the stereotypes that we've been taught that we hear throughout our lives from an early age, they're part of what is the dehumanization process. And that's a necessary precursor to systemic cruelty. We've seen it in the past in the horrific example of the Nazis, where they didn't just start saying, we're going to do genocide now, but they had a calculated process of dehumanizing and propaganda. And also, we see it today in rhetoric that falsely stereotypes immigrants from the South as criminals, purveyors of disease, people who eat your pets, so watch out, and just all kinds of other things, which are obviously not applicable to a group like that. But they do it to justify discriminatory policies. And that mental distance that is created there and is created with us in our perception of animals really does a good job in allowing us to accept violence toward a group that we see as other, but that we would otherwise never, ever be so violent or hateful toward. It's so powerful.
Speciesism. And
Speciesism, right?
people don't realize or know this word. I mean, of course, it's not a well-known word, but you can think of like racism, sexism, just like you were talking about othering of sentient beings. This is just another way of othering with systems of structural violence, speciesism. So it's like a collection of kind of attitudes and ideas and beliefs that we are dominant, humans are dominant, more important than any other species on the planet, right? It's this superiority. It's really wrongly legitimating humans' superiority over every animal on the planet. And this human superiority assumption really allows for horrific exploitation of animals in a variety of ways. And veganism really disrupts that systematic violence, right? It breaks that exploitation of non-human animals. And I mean, at its heart, vegan is an economic boycott. We're, want to avoid meat, dairy, and eggs so that the industry doesn't profit off of this exploitation. But there's lots of different kinds of vegan. There's ethical vegan, there's philosophical veganism or spiritual even veganism. It goes very deep and it is very connected to other social justice issues and everything that's happening. So I love that you touch on that because I think that's very important.
And it's really interesting that I think that we are able to distance ourselves so much from animals because in the past, let's say in the distant past, we had to go out there and kill things to eat, at least for part of our diets. And we brought that idea that that's what being human is into the present, where it no longer belongs. And then we've also brought with us, in order to justify that, the belief, the notion that we're better than them. We are somehow not of the same animal caliber, even though we are animals. In fact, a lot of people will argue that humans are not animals, which is a whole different discussion, but very interesting in how one could say that, considering that we do the same thing that non-human animals do. We have bodies and we breathe and we have all the organs that they do and the brains, et cetera, et cetera. But you get that. But we've had to justify it. And so we put ourselves above, and that's a really dangerous place to be, especially now that we have alternatives. that doing all of this to the animals is absolutely unnecessary. And yet we're still doing it. So that's what's changed from our prehistoric roots.
That's right. And humans, of course, are master manipulators of our environment and of our world. And so we are very different in a lot of ways. But I think with that comes a greater responsibility that we need to be more careful to not disrupt this planet. And we have done a lot of disruption. And this is one way. I mean, that's what's so beautiful about being vegan, to take on this beautiful lifestyle and way of being, is that we can now help, right? We can make change that is going to help all of the destruction that we have caused. So I really love that about being vegan.
Yeah, it's a powerful action.
Yeah.
And obviously we've talked about it for countless hours on this show. And as what I mentioned earlier about most people agreeing that they don't support cruelty to animals, that they believe in animal protection, it brings up the point that I've always made, which is, I'm not looking to convert anybody. We're not looking to convert people. You are who you are. We're looking to let you have a glimpse of how you could take actions in your life that would more accurately reflect who you are. You don't have to be like me. You don't have to be like anybody else. The vast majority of people do care about compassion and care about not causing suffering to others and the golden rule, et cetera, et cetera. This is Bob DiBenedetto on the Healthy Planet radio show on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. We're talking to Hope Bohanic, the Executive Director of Compassionate Living, the host of the Hope for the Animals podcast, and author of two books on the subject of humane washing and greenwashing. You can find out more about Hope and her work at www.compassionate-living.org. That's www.compassionate-living.org. And that's right, it is still Radiothon time, and you have the opportunity to support programming like you're hearing, which you never hear on any kind of mainstream TV, radio. You know it. I know it. No one ever delves into this issue. And the issues that we talk about, I challenge anyone to bring us issues that have more of an impact on our planet and on our well-being than the topics that we feature on this show every month. So give us a call at 631-632-6901, 631-632-6901. Or toll free at 888-632-9872. That's 888-632-9872. Or go to www.wusb.fm/pledge. That's wusb.fm/pledge to support this station and to support getting more programming like this. And with that, let's talk about the other side of the coin. You've given us an idea of who turkeys are, and I'm going to ask you to take some time to explain exactly how they're treated in order to prepare them for being a centerpiece on our table.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what you just said is so, it's good to say, and we're not wanting to convert anyone or change anyone. However, we do want to educate people on what's truly going on, because really these things ultimately align with how most people feel. Like you talked about that the psychological study, how most people feel they don't want to see animals suffer, right? Most people love animals and do want to not see them suffer.
So they do.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is just really, like you said, aligning with their already held beliefs and ethics. But getting into the turkeys and what they endure, I mean, it's, people don't know, they just don't know. And I have actually gone to these places, seen with my own eyes, turkey facilities, turkey meat facilities, both commercial, conventional and free range. And basically the main way that they raise turkeys is that they're packed just tightly into these long windowless buildings by the thousands. They're called floor systems, where the birds are just packed in there, just like chickens that are bred for their meat. It's the same situation. Turkeys are overcrowded in these buildings. They're forced to live in their own waste. The ammonia from their waste can burn their sensitive noses, and they're very close to the ground, so they're just kind of living in it. When people walk into these facilities and into these buildings, it just hits you, the stench, the ammonia. It's so intense, and they have to live in it day in and day out. They've been bred to grow so fast and become so heavy so quickly that their bones are often weak and can't support their weight. They suffer from leg deformities, arthritis, joint pain, and that's just in the first few months of life. Like they're slaughtered within the first year. They only live for a few months, but they can have numerous health issues in that short time just because of their intensive breeding, the horrible conditions of their confinement. They're debeaked. They're when they're chicks and they're first born, their beaks are cut off with hot solder blades.
Are there feelings in the beak?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's veterinary studies that say that it's likened to just cutting your fingers off. It can be their beaks are so sensitive and full of nerve endings. And something that people don't realize, but turkeys have an added cruelty that no other farmed animal has, and that is that they're detoed. Their toes on their feet, they have talons, like these kind of nails that grow very long and hard, and they can use those talons if they are scared, if they feel anxious, if they feel cr too crowded. They'll use their talons to defend themselves, and they will scratch other birds. They'll scratch the workers. And so to be instead of giving them more space, treating them kindly, the industry's reaction to this is to actually cut the toe off. So they take crude implements, just like branch trimmers, scissors, and when they're young, when they're just chicks, they will cut off the first one or two digits of their toes. And this is incredibly painful. Sometimes they have lifelong pain and limp and have a hard time getting to food and water. It's really awful, the detoeing. The females are forcibly impregnated. Toms, the male birds, are now so big that they can't mate naturally. They will sometimes hurt or crush females trying to mate. They often have to separate the two different the females and males so that this doesn't happen, and then the females are forcibly impregnated. I mean, there's just so much about it that is just horrible. And then, of course, they are violently handled at the end when they're taken out of the facilities, out of the buildings to go in the transport trucks. They're held upside down by their legs. They are just thrown around, jammed into crates. They travel to the slaughterhouse without food or water or weather protection. That can be hours and hours, sometimes days. And then at the slaughterhouse, they are hung upside down. Their throat is slit. I don't want to get into it too much because it is awful and brutal, but they, of course, die a frightening, slow death. So, this is, it's all so heartbreaking and so unnecessary. I have been vegan for 36 years. I have had 36 fantastic, delicious Thanksgivings without causing any suffering to turkeys, and I'm healthy and thriving, and I love Thanksgiving. I love the food. And I'm so grateful that I can choose to still have a wonderful Thanksgiving, still enjoy the holiday, and not cause any cruelty just by enjoying a vegan Thanksgiving.
Right, you're really not giving anything up.
Yeah.
It's more an opening to something really wonderful, which is a Thanksgiving that you can feel good about.
Yeah.
How many of you can look at your Thanksgiving bird, taking into account what you've just heard about how they're treated, and say, yeah, this taste is worth it? I'd pay someone to do that. I don't think most people could really say that unless they're proud of being callous and they're putting a show on for to be a certain way, like, yeah, I don't care. And that kind of thing. But otherwise, we all do care.
Yeah.
And the fact that we treat our Thanksgiving
companion animals like family. We buy them things and we pay for their medical care. We really, really do care. So it's just a matter of breaking down that barrier and saying, look, the factor that makes these animals worthwhile is not whether I know them or not, not whether they live in my house or not, but the fact that they exist and they have these abilities to feel and enjoy and have a life and interests and personalities and everything else just like us.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So true. And, you know, you don't even have to be an animal lover. Some people are like, well,
no.
I don't, but just wanting to have all beings live free and not suffer, you know, and that is kind of a baseline ethic that I think we all can share, at least most of us. And now, you know, there's a lot of people, I think almost every Thanksgiving table has at least one or two vegetarians or vegans that are coming around, the younger people or someone in their family. And it's actually getting more and more, I think, normalized. And
yeah.
And it's just not that big a deal anymore, I don't think. Hopefully, you know, people can start to explore having more vegan options and possibly having a different centerpiece. You can stuff a pumpkin. You can have vegan stuffing, the same stuffing that you usually have that you love so much. And you can stuff a nice squash or pumpkin that makes a beautiful centerpiece.
And there are so many options available. Local establishments here, you can get a loaf. You can get a Thanksgiving loaf.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. I haven't had a turkey for 47 years. And I mean, I'm not missing it. Most of the people I know, I live in a little bit of a different circle of people because of the work that I do, but most of the people I know haven't had turkey in decades. So what you say is true. It's not as unusual as it used to be. When we were growing up, turkey was it and everybody ate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hope, I'm going to make a switch to your books, The Ultimate Betrayal and The Humane Hoax, which focuses on the deceptive language used in marketing. I want you to talk about how these terms like free range, cage free, grass fed, sustainable, all those serve as a sort of psychological barrier that allow us to feel like we're purchasing something that's ethical, despite the fact that we're really still participating in a system that by all measures is inherently violent.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this goes back to that, what we've been talking about, how people love animals and don't want to hurt them, right? We want to believe that all these labels that we're seeing are true, right? We're seeing labels like certified humane and cage-free and organic, and on turkey meat, we're seeing free range and things like that. We really want to believe the industry is improving, but the unfortunate reality is that if a company wants to make a product profitable, if they want to be marketable in this economy, there are inherent cruelties. There's certain practices that they just can't avoid, that they have to do to make a product profitable. There's body mutilations like the debeaking and detowing we were talking about. There's family separations. Hardly any of the animals in farming get to stay with their families. They separate the babies right at birth. Dairy cows, the babies are taken away right at birth. For the avians, for the turkeys and the chickens, they never know their mother hen or mother at all. They are completely separated. And this is really psychologically traumatizing to these animals. So there's separation of families. Slaughter at a very young age. These animals all go to slaughter very young. So all of that still happens under these labels, and people don't realize it. To make a product profitable, the animal's well-being will be compromised, and it just can't be done humanely. So with most of the alternative labeling, these humane labels, there's very little regulation. There's no on-site inspection. And what's on the carton, what's on the website, that is not the reality of these facilities that these animals are in. And I have seen it for myself. Cage-free eggs is a good example. Mm-hmm. So of course, you know, we want to get the birds out of the cages. I absolutely encourage that. You know, we don't want birds to be in cages, but that's not the only cruelty that they face. It's not the only horror of their lives. There is so many more procedures and processes that they face, and we funnel all the welfare into this one lens, the size of their confinement, when there's so many other considerations that just become invisible things that I was talking about before, like the separation of families, like the other manipulations and mutilations of their bodies. And consumers see that cage-free label and they think that the animals are now free and free of suffering. And
It's permission.
you know, cage-free does not mean cruelty-free.
You're listening to the Healthy Planet radio program on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. Remember to pledge. Go online, support this program, www.wusb.fm/pledge. WUSB.fm/pledge.
And the turkeys, I could talk about that too.
Please.
There's this common myth that's kind of part of the humane hoax. This idea that small or local farms are more ethical, right?
Right.
When we see a small farm, a family farm, the farmer at your farmer's market, we think, oh, well, it's got to be better, right? No, that doesn't necessarily mean that the animals were treated humanely. Farming practices have these inherent cruelties, like I was talking about. Generally, their processes and procedures are going to be identical to a larger farm. I've done the research and heard just horror stories of smaller operations, family farms with very brutal treatment of animals. I've personally seen small chicken farms where birds have patches of feathers missing, where birds are injured, they can't stand. So it's not only small farms that use this label, and a really great example of that is Butterball Turkey. These are huge companies. Butterball Turkey has hundreds of farms, hundreds of thousands of birds on all these farms. And they use the American Certified Humane label. They're the largest producer of turkey meat in the US, and all their products have the American Certified Humane label.
Right.
So you think when someone sees this label, you know, of course they're going to think, oh, well, the turkeys are outside and they're, you know, free from
Of
any
course.
suffering, right? No, that is not the case. Actually, under the American Certified Humane label, there's no requirement for outdoor access. They are not outside, so they are still in these windowless buildings. You know, inside, they're still debeaked, they're still detoed. All of those procedures are allowed. They're still bred to become painfully overweight. None of that changes. They still go to the same horrifying death at the same slaughterhouse as all the other non-certified turkeys. So, what's the difference? Well, the only difference is that they have a few more square inches of space per bird, right? And while I appreciate that, I want the birds to have more space, that shouldn't be the only improvement, right? That shouldn't be the only thing to justify a label like humane certified. I mean, that's when we see that label, when consumers see that label, they're thinking something very different than what I just described, right? And they're right to assume that it should be more improved than that. But no, they can't make money. They wouldn't be able to make a profit if they let the animals live their lives out in peace, like on a sanctuary. It just
Right.
couldn't be done, right? There's no humane way to do the wrong thing. There's no right way to do the wrong thing. There's no humane way to commodify someone's body. So Big Ag uses these labels too. It's when you see these labels, it's not necessarily that it's a small farm. And even beyond that, these labels create what's called a psychological refuge effect. Speaking of psychology, you mentioned in the beginning, the psychological refuge effect, it causes people to think that things are improving, right? To believe that because of these labels, that the conditions are getting better for animals, when unfortunately that's not the case at all. Things are really on a large scale getting worse for the animals. But these labels kind of lull consumers into this false sense that the industry is improving when it's not, and it's just getting worse for the animals. There's really no way to go down any road where the animals are in a completely happy, carefree life and skipping off to the slaughterhouse. It doesn't exist. And then you add in all the environmental impact and our health. And why? It's just, there's no reason to try to find a right way to do this. We just have to realize that you cannot commodify and kill someone and have it be humane.
Right. And I looked at the Butterball label and I looked at how they raise them and I looked at the amount of time that they have to experience life. They're killed at the beginning of their lives. And that's called humane. We're talking about a matter of 14 to 22 weeks from what I read, right? And that's not humane. I don't care how you slice it.
No, could you imagine never seeing summer? I mean, they don't even get to ever experience summer, you know, or a full season of life of a full year. I mean, it's I can't even imagine. It's horrible.
Yeah. All right. So we've heard a lot of the bad news, but this bad news that we've heard is actually good news because knowledge is power. If we don't know it, we could be contributing to something that we really would not, in our worst state, want to contribute to. Most of us, that is. And so let's move on and talk a little bit more about the happy parts of Thanksgiving and the ability for us to still enjoy, appreciate this holiday. And again, we're talking to the vast majority of people who believe that animals should be protected. And they're at this place where the silent majority recognizes that they've listened to the show, they may want to make a change. Give them a little bit of feeling of something that you think might empower them to feel good about this, whether it's about the holidays or just about how you could look at this change in your life in a way that's uplifting.
So I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving food. I think there's this fear that vegans won't ever be able to enjoy Thanksgiving again or won't ever be able to enjoy life again. And it's just not the case. I love Thanksgiving. The food can be easily veganized. All the side dishes can be brought, you know, made vegan so easily. I love to decorate for Thanksgiving, and I love the symbol of the turkey as a symbol of Thanksgiving. I don't think we have to give that up. I love to honor turkeys, and they're just beautiful birds. I love the imagery of turkeys around Thanksgiving. Let's truly honor them by not commodifying and killing them, right? I mean, it's so funny that we have this really this beautiful, beautiful imagery around the turkeys at Thanksgiving, but then we have a dead bird on their table. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't connect. So let's truly, truly honor the turkeys and veganize our Thanksgiving. And it's so easy. Just some little switches to vegan butter and vegan milks can make all the side dishes vegan. I think finding other vegans to share this time with is really wonderful, so that you can share your recipes and share your feeling around really living your ethics and enjoying this holiday. I think that's a wonderful way to express our true love for each other, for our family, for our extended family, right? The extended family of life, by protecting the turkeys and honoring them.
Right. And also the production of turkey as a food, as these animals, does cause an enormous amount of environmental degradation. And we're giving thanks for what we have, but at the same time, we're asking people, paying people, to do something that's actually destroying the habitat, the environment, our life support system. So that in itself doesn't quite make sense. You know, in a world where there weren't 8+ billion people living, you could make that work. In a world at a time when so many people are on this planet, it doesn't work, no matter how you slice it. You could even get together with people who aren't vegans. My parents lived with us for the last 10 years of their lives, and they would have some meat. My mother mostly didn't like it. My father had a revelation very late toward the end of his life, but they would eat other animal products here and there, not very much. And we used to love our Thanksgivings with them. We would get all the plant-based turkey and the stuffing. I've always been a stuffing fan, and the gravy and the roasted vegetables. Just, it's wonderful. The turkey itself being on the plate has nothing to do with it. And I'll tell one more story, and that was when I was teaching martial arts decades ago, and one of my students had a farm where he would have people come and look at the animals they had, and they had turkeys there, just a couple. And I borrowed one of them for Thanksgiving. I had my family over to our house, and I had a whole room for this turkey that was there for all of my nieces and nephews to see and perhaps connect with and to appreciate, but there was no turkey on the plate.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can also do things if you're in a position to set up something that is also somewhat instructive, but also just leave it as a celebration too. I was in a special, unique position where he offered this to me, and the turkey was amazing and beautiful. Sweetie was her name.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Yep. So if you were to give people, we have just about a minute left. I want two things from you. One, a first step that people can take in this transition. And two, how do you feel about the future in terms of us really recognizing what's going on and taking actions to address it in a way that makes a difference?
Right. I'd say first step, go online and actually look at some of the video of how these animals are truly treated. Mm. That can be very impactful and really motivate you to go searching for some vegan recipes. That could be your next step, to veganize some of your Thanksgiving food. And, you know, I saw a commercial actually on TV where there was a Thanksgiving table, a whole big spread, and there was no turkey, which was amazing. I was like, wow. I mean, I don't think it was an oversight. I think they actually decided to have a whole, I mean, maybe they couldn't afford the turkey in the, I don't know, but it was acceptable. It was, it didn't matter that there was no turkey there. So we're really moving in that direction. And that is so hopeful to me. And what's also hopeful is that, like you said, the environmental impact, you know, without farming animals, without farming turkeys, we could regrow, rewild millions of acres of land that we are using now for like free ranging turkeys, when there's actually like, they do have some access to the outside. It uses so much land, and we could green those spaces. That would be carbon sequestering, drawing carbon out of the atmosphere, and massively help with the climate crisis. So, when you are avoiding meat, you can save 3,500 trees a year. Mm. We would only need a quarter of the land that we use now to feed everyone vegan. So that land can be replanted, rewild, and those green spaces can reduce our climate impact. And we relieve the suffering and killing of millions of sentient beings. And I really believe that kindness will carry over into our treatment of each other, reducing the violence in the world, right? And bringing more kindness and compassion to the world. And I think we need that now more than ever, right?
Agreed, yeah.
Yeah, we really need that. So, I think vegan has a lot of benefits, and it does give me hope that we're moving in the right direction, and that we will one day see a world where people recognize that animals grieve, animals dread, animals rejoice, they love life, and we have no right to take it from them.
And we'll end it on that note. This is Bob DiBenedetto on the Healthy Planet Radio Show on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. We've been talking to Hope Bohanek, the Executive Director of Compassionate Living, the host of the Hope for the Animals podcast, and author of two books on the subject of humane washing and greenwashing. You can find out more about Hope and her work at Compassionate Living at www.compassionate-living.org. That's www.compassionate-living.org. Hope, I so appreciate you being here. Thank you for that. And again, for all the work that you've been doing.
Thank you, Bob, so much for having me. I love that you've been doing this show for so long, since 2007. That's amazing. Incredible work. So thank you very much for your work.
I very much appreciate that, especially coming from you. And there you have it, another Healthy Planet show. And another show with the wonderful Hope Bohanek. For me, it's so reassuring to know that there are people like Hope out there who are putting forth information that really speaks to all of us as Americans, and of course, as global citizens and animals who share this planet with all the other animals. And of course, you hear this unique programming on WUSB 90.1 FM on the Healthy Planet radio program. And on that note, I'll take one more opportunity to pitch for you to contribute to WUSB. Because you've enjoyed this hour, we know it. We know you've learned a lot from this hour. We know you've learned a lot from all the shows that we've been producing, creating for the last almost 19 years. So give us a call at 631-632-6901, 631-632-6901, or go to the website at www.wusb.fm/pledge. That's wusb.fm/pledge. And it's not just this show today that we're playing on animals and how we look at animals, how we look at traditions, how we look at stereotypes and social norms. It's much more than that. We've talked about other gravely important issues, such as the incredible amount of lying that's coming out from our current administration in Washington regarding energy and the environment. Calling coal clean, as we mentioned earlier in this show. Calling climate change a hoax with zero evidence. But it's just a narrative that they're looking to put forth in a way that their followers believe and trust, despite the fact that it has nothing to do with the truth. Earlier this year, we had Bhavani Jarafan talking about food and the joy of food and cooking plant-based foods. We had Paul Gunter on talking about nuclear energy and the myth of clean nuclear energy, the new modern clean nuclear energy. We talked extensively about the big toxic bill that was signed earlier in Washington. I did my annual presentation on food choices, meat, climate, global solutions that delineated all of the implications of what we put on our plate. Everything ranging from destruction of the rainforest to world hunger, where most of our food supply is being used to feed to animals in order to enable us to eat meat instead of feeding the whole world healthful plant-based foods. And as a result, we've got a world where upwards of 800 million people are hungry. And we've, of course, covered many other shows over the years, from native gardening to systemic racism and even composting and extensive coverage of climate change and osteoporosis and heart disease and so much more. So this is your chance at wusb.fm/pledge. That's www.wusb.fm/pledge to support all the amazing things that we put forth. And this is not to mention all of the programming put out by the other Natural Alternatives hosts at 6 p.m. every Friday evening. So again, this is your time to give back, and we will be here to receive your generosity, and you will assure that this volunteer radio station continues for years and years in a way that will support and nurture your growing desire to be who you are and to live a life that actually reflects your values and helps you make a serious difference in the world. WUSB.fm/pledge. And that'll do it for this show. By the way, I'll let you know that this show is going to be rebroadcast on Tuesday, the 18th of November at 1 p.m. So anytime you hear this show on a Friday, you can hear it the following Tuesday at 1 p.m. to share with your friends. And I'll be with you again at this same time on Friday, December 12th at 6 p.m. And every month thereafter at 6 p.m., on the second Friday of the month. And when I'm not here, be sure to listen to the Natural Alternatives lineup with great hosts from Dr. Eugene Zamperone to Courtney Bozick to John Scardina, sharing cutting-edge information on health, our environment, social justice issues, and so much more. That's every week, Fridays at 6 p.m. For more information on Healthy Planet and our radio shows and to listen to this archive, go to www.healthyplanetusa.org. That's healthyplanetusa.org. Also like and find our archives on our Facebook page. That's at Healthy Planet USA, at Healthy Planet USA. Until next time, stay strong, relax, make your voice heard in this world by continuing to speak up for what's right. Take time to be energy efficient. Take time to consider moving toward a Thanksgiving tradition that reflects who you are, not what your parents handed down to you necessarily. Keep all the joy and keep all of the connection with that old tradition, but include actions that really make a difference and that create the world that you aspire to see. Be kind to those around you, including our amazing four and multi-legged friends. And finally, remember to enjoy every moment of existence on this beautiful planet that we all share. Be well.
Our climate is changing. Making a few changes to your driving habits can cut tailpipe emissions and improve fuel efficiency. Drive smart. Go easy on the brakes and gas pedal. get regular tune-ups by following your vehicle's maintenance schedule. Check your tire pressure. Combine as many activities and errands into one trip as possible. Reduce your carbon impact to the environment. Act now on climate change.
A stay in the hospital for people of all ages can be a stressful and challenging experience. But every day, teams of volunteers in UCLA's People Animal Connection, or PAC, make the lives of patients and their families better.
You see the patients get happier and more relaxed. They kind of forget that they're in a hospital bed.
The visits are provided to hospitalized patients without cost. Learn how you can get involved at uclahealth.org/PAC.